if my client wants to optimize their processes, I might apply lean value stream mapping as a technique to identify where the process inefficiency exists. If I have a customer who does not have a strategic decisioning framework in their organization, and they want to invest in something like that because they know that in the long term, it's going to save them millions of dollars, then I will introduce them to value stream mapping as a part of a business architecture practice and how they can use that to make better strategic decisions.
Hey, this is Dave Pryor. Welcome to Leading Agile Sound Notes. This is the first in a multi-part series on value stream mapping. In this episode, we're going to talk about what a value stream map is. I'm going to show an example. And over the next couple, we're going to keep escalating in sort of the level of depth we go to and the more formal we get with them. And we're going to end up someplace completely different. Mary Lloyd and Lance Kind are here to help me with this. So thank you both for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks, David. We're happy to be here to invalidate everything you say.
That's what I'm looking for. All right. So before we start, Mary, would you mind telling these folks a little bit about your background and what your origin story is, like where the radioactive spider bit you or when? I should say that would probably be better to say when.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate
and how many?
The opportunity to be here with you. My name is Mary Lloyd. I'm a managing consultant and strategic business architect here at Leading Agile. I've been with Leading Agile for 3 years, but this is hard to admit. And I've spent the last 25 to 30 years working in many different consulting areas. So just excited to be here and have a conversation with you and Lance.
Cool. All right. Thank you. And Lance?
Hey, I'm Lance Kind. I'm a technical consultant at Leading Agile. What I do is I coach developer teams in how to do stuff more better. So like automation of everything, i.e. testing, deployment, and anything else we could think to automate. ChatGPT, we are looking at you. So what else do I do is I have to talk to people who will pay for services. And so that's what gets me into this area about non-developer things like value streams. So thanks for inviting me, Dave and Mary, and I look forward to our chat.
I'm looking forward to all of this too, because I'm sure I'm going to learn a lot. So this kind of came about because we were having a conversation about value stream maps, and I recognize that my understanding of them is different than most people's because I didn't come at it from a manufacturing perspective. I learned about it when I went through the Lean Agile Visual Management Program as part of Modus Institute, and we did value stream maps for work within a team. So it wasn't like a manufacturing flow. It was different, and it has sort of a different twist, and I'm going to show that in a few minutes. But I'm curious to hear from both of you, like, how would you explain to somebody who'd never heard of a value stream map before what it actually is?
Lance, do you want to go first, or would you like me to?
Sure. Yeah, we're looking at each other. Like, who's going to go first? I would put it this way. It's the steps that one has to go through to get to value that somebody's going to pay for.
Okay.
And I would generally agree with Lance's definition, except I would just say that a key stakeholder finds is valuable. It might not necessarily be actual monetary exchange or the value item.
Okay.
But value streams, and again, we talked about this earlier, Dave, when we talk a little bit more about value streams, they can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And the important thing is creating a value stream, you just need to understand the context in which you want to use that information, because then the way in which you create that value stream might be different, because you need the information to do the analysis.
I don't know, man. This sounds like we're talking about socialism versus capitalism. I'm a little worried.
I think it's really important because the first book that was recommended to me was John Shook's book, Learning to See. And I started to read through it and I'm like, this has no relevancy to anything that I do because I don't work in a plant. We don't manufacture things. So I'm going to say one more thing about it that was weird to me. So
Dave, you totally manufacture things all the time.
Well,
Like yeah, this podcast. Are you exactly. not manufacturing well, right
now? It's good that you said that because that's where I'm going to go in a minute. But when I learned project management, I got my first real project management job. They brought this old, like, bent over, chain smoking, gum chewing, bearded man to teach me and this other dude project management. And the very first thing he said was, you always start with the last step and then you write down whatever happened right before that. Okay, that was 1994. And I didn't actually learn that that's the same way you build a value stream map until 2 years ago.
You just didn't listen to the old guy closely enough, I think.
No, but I mean, I not only have a PMP, I taught PMP certification, and I have a master's degree in project management, mm-hmm. and I never learned value stream mapping. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't understand how that happened.
And I've never heard that as part of the definition of a value stream. So again,
not as a definition of it, but a way to create one.
A way.
The last thing it is the...
Okay, but not the way to create one.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, got it.
A way.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. It was just really weird to me that that was the first thing that I was told. Like, what's the last thing you do and what did you write before that? I'm like, are we making a Gantt chart?
So he was actually more of a finish to start scheduling.
Yes, person. Absolutely. Right. And are you not in that camp, Mary?
I'm, again... Given I haven't been a project manager for a few years, I'm a...
good for you.
You know, I'm a recovering project manager from many years ago.
Yep.
But yeah, it's, you know, you use your scheduling method based on what makes sense for those set of tasks in that situation.
So what I would like to do is explain to both of you how I was taught to do this. And I'll show you an example of what I came up with in the program and then how I've used it with another company. And then just for the folks that are watching, we're going to do probably four episodes of this. The next one, Lance is going to present a value stream map. The next one, Mary's going to present one. And then we're going to talk about another kind of mapping at the end. I'm curious when I show you this to hear whether you think it's more of a process map or a value stream map. Because Mary, from the stuff you sent out before we got on this call, that's one of the things I'm kind of fuzzy about now. So let me try to share. Well, I'll give the backstory, then I'll share my screen. So when I went through the LAVM program, one of the exercises you have to do is to create a value stream. And the first time I did it for my work at Leading Agile, which is I'm pretty much a one-man show. Like, I don't have points of collaboration usually, except in a class. So it didn't really work. I got put together with two other people in a team, and we decided we were going to start a podcast. So we created a value stream map for how we thought that work should flow, right? Not, it's sort of a future state. We didn't have an as is. We were just going with future state. And since I was the only one that had any experience doing it, I kind of built the initial version of it. So let me pull this up here. All right. So this big messy thing down at the bottom, this is what we came up with in class. And basically, I started at the very last step of, you know, what when the podcast is done, how do we know it's done? And I went back all the way to the very beginning. Now, we were working asynchronously. And so what happened over a couple of weeks is my team members were posting questions. So we had a process that was kind of defined up front. And the way that we were taught to do it was with this color coding system. So after we lay out the basic flow of work, we had to go in and sort of add commentary on it. So for me, like, where are the points that are painful? Like, editing the podcast is painful. Where are there places where we deviate from the normal path? Where are there opportunities to collaborate and make things work better? And where do we come up with solutions for things? So it became not just an explanation of what we thought the work should be, but a conversation and trying to understand it. And one of the things that I learned was there are a lot of places where I would have like one yellow post-it and it was actually like 15 different things that I just didn't separate the work in my head. And then there were also places further on where we differed in how we wanted to handle the work. And so that led us into conversations about what was more valuable to us. Is it being able to do it fast or being able to use lots of technically advanced tools to do it? How are we going to edit it? Things like that. So the collaboration conversations opened up opportunities for us to reach resolution on what this thing meant to us, what success looked like, how we wanted to interact with one another. And it was, for me, it was really transformative because I realized that there's a lot of things that I don't actually visualize to a point where I can clarify them for other people. I also found there's a lot of points where I am a complete control freak. Like if it was up to me, I would still be cutting tape with a razor blade when I was doing podcasts because that's how I learned to do this kind of stuff. But, you know, now that we have the computery things and all, you can't do that anymore. So in helping me understand my team members and helping us understand what was important to us as a group, this exercise in trying to define a workflow process became really transformative. And I had some folks in class who worked at a digital agency. And one of the problems was the two people in class kept telling their team members, we want you to decide how you're going to want to work. We want you to own it. You're self-organizing, all the stuff you would tell an agile team, but they wouldn't do it. They just kept complaining about the way things were. And so I set up.
That's pretty good though, David. I mean, come on.
Well,
doesn't that help?
It's easy. It's easy, right? That's one of the things with this process is it makes it really hard to be a victim, I think. So what we set them up with was I started out with just this. I did a little session with them where I showed them this. And we started with like, if you're creating a banner or a website or whatever it is, what's the last step? And you work all the way back. And they were going to do this together as a team. So it's not something that one person would do and other people would contribute to like I did. They were going to all sit in a room together and jam on this for a couple of days and then add in things like here's the stuff that happens all the time or the rarities, things that are a problem for people, things we wish we did differently, places where we could collaborate and stuff like this purple one, things we do that are dumb, things that we don't understand that we do. But the whole idea was that in mapping it out and defining the areas that they as a team felt there were problems, then it would become their responsibility to come up with a solution for it. Yeah, right? I guess the parallel for me and the idea of removing waste is that if you see waste, you have to decide, like, is this waste we choose to get rid of? If we do choose to get rid of it, you know, how are we going to do it? Because I believe that there's some waste in a system that is necessary sometimes for things to function, like body fat. You know, you need a certain amount of body fat. There's certain amounts of waste in the way I work that I need to keep me sane or to keep me feeling like I understand what's going on. So that was the basic thing for me with this whole approach is that it helped me understand what was happening better because we visualized it, helped me collaborate with other people together and see their view of it, but then working with them to identify the areas for improvement gave us greater ownership of what we were doing and helped us have conversations about how to fix things together, which was not something as a project manager that I ever concerned myself with because I was always about, well, I'll fix your problem for you. I'll tell you what you're going to do differently. And that was how things worked.
Can we add a sticky to the end of that value stream template you have there?
Sure.
And discuss maybe a little bit about that, why I want to have a sticky.
Can we put it back up? Yeah, I'll put it back.
And then we can get back to our capitalism versus socialism conversation. So to add one more sticky in there on the end and say, let's see here. Value is exchanged or money's exchanged, something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe then we have to talk. We definitely have to talk about that because exchange between who?
So this
value
is
value for who?
Well, this is the, so what you have without that sticky is what I would call almost a value stream map, but it's missing the point of the whole story, which is why are we doing this thing after the last step? And if we're doing this thing at the last step and it actually gets you to that blue sticky, then you're done. But if there's like other people involved and they're going to like do other stuff before you get to the blue sticky, because I'm assuming eventually we're going to get to the blue sticky, some point somehow. And if that isn't you and your team, then the drawback to this, to not recognizing that is you are subject to local optimization. And there may be speeding up your team may not actually create faster value for the company or the enterprise or whatever why you're doing this.
What about just
so it's really?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was going to say
no, go ahead.
With the to me when I was listening to Dave talk about this, it was application of the value stream concept in a teaming environment. So to me, I automatically thought the value was the improved collaboration, was the skin in the game that each member of the team brought to it. But I understand what you're saying, Lance, in terms of specific value item, you know, when the team does this and they decide this, what's the value achieved? So you could do more of that. But again, I think that gets into the context of how you're using the value stream map as a tool. You know, Dave, this is a great tool to bring the team together, to force ownership in the team, to drive collaboration. It just may not be how Lance or I have used value stream mapping in the past, because that was not necessarily our goal.
Okay. Yeah. I want to comment on the value thing from the podcast thing. This is the version on the lower part of the screen. That's part of a series of exercises called right environment exercises. And one of them, you have to define, like, what does victory look like? You know, what is success for us? And for me, the value in working with these people was working with the people.
Absolutely.
The value in podcasting, I'm totally selfish about podcasting. I don't ever think about, are people going to listen to this? Are they going to like it? I only care about what I'm interested in, and that's what drives the whole thing. So I'm very selfish that way. One of the other people, he wanted to create a podcast that was going to be valuable to listeners. And the other person wanted to create a podcast so that he could use a bunch of different technology. So the value is like a very hard thing maybe to pin down. I mean, if we were saying the product was a podcast that people were going to listen to, then that value would be when they received it, however they received it, I guess. But in what was driving us, and that was a big part of this, and this goes to the teaming thing too. You work with other people, what value do you get out of being with those people?
Yes, 100%.
Right. So I think we were using it in a very – can I close it now, Lance? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
maybe the short thing is this, is you don't have to fill out the blue sticky if there's a lot of steps and details, but it's good to acknowledge that if you're a small cog, if you will, in a big machine, it's good to acknowledge that. And then if you want to solve increase of value, then you
increase of value to the end customer, whoever.
Stream may not be enough.
Okay. So you're saying across the system, you might have multiple teams and you have to coordinate their work to be able to deliver greater value to an end customer or whomever.
Yeah, because you getting more, your group getting more efficient may not actually increase the value. You will have solved, you may have made yourselves, how do I say, highly efficient, but then the bottlenecks later on in the system, and then people are like, oh my God, they've released another podcast. We haven't even got the last six gone live yet, if we're talking about podcasts.
So how often do people, this is one of the questions I wanted to ask you both. How often do you have conversations about why are we doing this? Because when I look at the John Shook stuff or any of that more traditional approach, it's all about understanding the flow of work, removing waste, becoming more efficient, and getting a shared understanding up on the wall, which I get, but that's totally not the problem I was trying to solve here. Do people talk about the point behind the value stream?
Do people? I need a little more. Like, are you saying when
you're working with clients, do you start out by the same way you would say, why do you want to be agile?
Always start with an operational definition, because people always have preconceived notions in their head. Absolutely. And again, that goes, I keep harping on this, the definition of creating a value stream, what kind of a map you're going to elaborate on is going to be completely based on the mission you're on. You know, if you want to do a lean value stream map where you're looking at a set of process flows and you want to understand the process time, understand the lag time, you want to identify where we can improve the process and pull out that waste, right? The muda. Yeah. That's a traditional lean value stream mapping where you're going to be doing some time process studies and capturing that information and be building a business case on how much does it get the company to remove this manual effort and replace it with something that's automated. If you're doing something more you know, with creating a strategic decisioning framework for an organization, you may look at business architecture for a set of tools and techniques that you can develop, and then use value streams as one of the domains of your business architecture to inform what strategic decisions you might make. It all depends on what you're trying to do.
I have a question for Mary.
Oh, go.
So you mentioned you're going to start with an operational definition. Is that really the first step? You're going to
If I say value stream at a client site, I have had enough experience, again, 25, 30 years, that of saying that without defining it, it's a lesson learned. So yes, anytime I have a word that might have a lot behind it, right? And this is a great conversation about it. You have to define it. We create that common lexicon, the business glossary, which again is it's another component of business architecture. So having that is key.
And that's a smart move, because there might be some wise guy like Dave there who's got experience with a different kind of value stream, and he might completely misunderstand it. But I wonder. So I'm guessing that you probably had an even earlier step. And there's a reason why you're even having the conversation about value stream mapping. So that's where I would start with, is why even have the conversation about value stream mapping? Because value stream mapping is just a tool. So what's the...
Right. That's the context, right? What problem are you trying to solve, right? With Dave, the problem he's trying to solve is, I want to get the team invested in the work that we're doing. Here's the work we're doing. Yeah. Let's all get together and create a vision for what this should be. You know, again, depending on if my client wants to optimize their processes, I might apply lean value stream mapping as a technique to identify where the process inefficiency exists. If I have a customer who does not have a strategic decisioning framework in their organization and they want to invest in something like that because they know that in the long term, it's going to save them millions of dollars, then I will introduce them to value stream mapping as a part of a business architecture practice and how they can use that to make better strategic decisions.
So I have two questions now. The first one I'm thinking is probably simpler. Has either of you ever experienced a time when creating a value stream map wasn't going to be beneficial? Because to me, the idea of like mapping it out visually, having that conversation, there's no way that's not going to surprise people.
Oh, yeah. Because you get people talking and collaborating, and you surface where their perceptions are different,
assumptions,
right? You haven't had a common operational definition. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna say I agree with you, David, that anybody can get value from a value stream map, but I find that some people aren't patient to even want to have the conversation, the investment needed.
They're
and
not
so,
ready.
So that's where I would think to start at is, well, why should even have this, this tool? Why should we spend time on this tool? That's where I would start.
So that's great for my second question, which is part of me learning to do it this way is kind of predicated on the idea of creating humane systems for people to work in. And when I look at like the John Shook stuff, that it's all mathed out. I mean, I don't see humanity. Not that it's not there, but you don't see it in that.
Right.
Have you ever seen people use value stream mapping with that intent?
With the intent that John Shook? I don't know.
With the intent of understanding and creating a system that allowed for greater humanity among the people that are in the system.
No, I love it. I see the application there. I think it's smart.
Okay.
It just reinforces the need to have a clear understanding of what is our problem to be solved, right? Why are we wanting to use this technique?
Yeah.
Because that's how we're going to tailor in this situation.
Okay. So before, if people are going to get started with this stuff, they have to have a conversation about why, like what problems are they trying to solve?
Yes.
And to Lance's point, are they willing to take the time, invest the time to do it and be patient enough to understand it?
Absolutely.
Your pitch about greater humanity within the system, I'm paraphrasing probably incorrectly, may not land with some people. Some people will say, oh, that's too fuzzy and
acculturated,
blah, blah, blah. So,
really quick side story. I had a developer one time come in and sit down in my office and say we needed to do Agile. It's just when I was a traditional PMP. And I'm like, oh, because we were already so late on the project. I'm like, what? Okay, we want to switch. Why do we need to switch? And he goes, it will improve our quality of life. I said, get back in your damn office and write some code. You don't get quality of life. Like, that was ridiculous to me. But that was a long time ago. Hopefully I'm either softer or wiser now. I don't know which, but.
I think John shook aside. I think that you need to tailor the message for the person who's to receive it or the group that's to receive it.
What are they going to get out of it?
Because, you know, if they're paying you money, right? Yeah. Like the AC guy, he drops by it. He doesn't give me a heat pump for greater good of the humanity, which it would be because it would use his power. No, it's a conversation about economics because, you know what? The heat pump, for some bloody reason, costs twice as much as a single stage, which is the worst one you could install, which is counter to greater humanity. And so you basically end up paying for the level that you can afford if you wanted to look at it through that lens of greater through humanity. And so now, you know, so I actually would consider greater good of humanity, but then I have to look at my budget. And so, you know, I kind of shoot.
Can you afford that? Can you afford to create that kind of a system? Right, totally right. Get that. Okay. All right. So if anybody wants to learn more about this stuff, they could check out John Shook's book. They could go to, where were the links that you sent from?
How do you spell his last name, by the way?
Togas.
John
Shook, S-H-O-K. I'll put a link in the show notes.
Excellent. Yeah. And then I, great material from the Lean Enterprise about lean value stream mapping. Again, if you have a process or a set of processes you want to optimize, great techniques there for value stream mapping. In the context of value streams as a part of a strategic decision-making framework, I just pulled from TOGAF, which is, you know, a standard for enterprise architecture.
Ah, okay.
The open
cool. Thank you.
Open group, excuse me.
Okay. And so, Mary, if they want to get in touch with you with follow-up questions, what's the best way to do that?
Absolutely. Just feel free to email me, give me a call. More than happy to get that information to include here, Dave.
Okay. We'll put all that in the show notes. And Lance, what about you?
Email's all right. Social media is better, like LinkedIn or Twitter. So LinkedIn.
GeoCities page.
GeoCities. Yeah, my MySpace. Probably close that one down. So LinkedIn, and it's Lance R. Kind on LinkedIn or Twitter.
Okay. Do you want to plug your podcast before
Sure. Yeah. The podcast where we debate value stream maps and how we're going to conquer David's podcast is Agile Thoughts. And you can find us there by just Googling Lancer Agile Thoughts.
Okay, cool. And do you want to tease the next episode of this series, Lance, since you're presenting next?
Right. So next episode, I will be talking to
you. Wait, hold on. Next time on Sound Notes.
There we are. I will be talking with Dave and Mary about the type of value stream map work I've been doing, and we'll see if they're amazed or infuriated.
All right. Well, thank you both for making time for this. And if you've been watching, I hope you find it valuable. I hope this whole series is going to be valuable. But I'm grateful to you both for taking time for this today.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Yeah,
cheers.
Bye.
See you, everybody.